Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 108, Modern Day Tricks or Treats.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, welcome to another week. I wonder how your week has been. We've just seen the first of our snow for the season, very early for us, very cold temperatures. But I'm very pleased that for those who live around the fires that are going on, that the snow did quell a lot of the fires, helping the firefighters. And I send my love to all of those who are suffering in any way, whether it's from illness, from loss of loved ones, or from hurricanes, tornadoes, everything that's happening to our world at this time. And we are at a very special time. It is Halloween this weekend, All Hallows Eve, Samhain. It is this time where the light in the Northern Hemisphere is disappearing into the darkness of the earth. It's as if Mother Earth is taking that darkness inside her and will not reappear until 6 months later. And it's a very special time in the Celtic tradition where, because it is halfway between the fall equinox and the winter solstice, the veil between the dimensions is extremely thin. So it is said that at this time, the spirits of the other world, the spirits of the underworld, are very close to us. And many different cultures treat this in different ways, where your loved ones will come close and you want to prepare food for the loved ones so that they will be satisfied and will return to where they've come from. But the actual mythology goes even further back into an understanding that there were a group called Thuadadana who actually disappeared into the underworld. They were seen as the Shi or the fairy people, and that at certain times of the year, they come close to the surface and they are wanting to do mischief. They are wanting to play tricks. They are wanting to take our cattle, take our crops, or maybe even take our wife. And these sorts of ideas that something mystical, something otherworldly can come and disturb us is right in front of us now with our virus. And so I saw the mythologies that are working around at this time. Are we always vulnerable to something that could take away those things that we love, we want? Or is there, has this polarization, this the fact that something out there could attack us, could hurt us, be created for us not to go deeper, not to connect to this other world, to this world of mysticism, the world that the Thuadadana actually carry, this world of expansion, of spiritual awareness? And I saw that we have such similarities going on at the moment. So if we understand that maybe there is another dimension, another world very close to us as we are living now, and that they are offering us, it's not outer space, it's not ETs, but here on this planet, maybe within the planet, and that they're offering us a way of understanding ourselves on a more multidimensional level. I could use the word spiritual, a more magical way, which we associate with the world of fairies. What if they were offering us that world, but there came a time where it was too dangerous to let the whole of humanity have that experience. So these people were banished from appearing, and then they were demonized to appear to be bad, to be appear to only want mischief, only want to destroy us. You understand that? So what happens is that I believe over time, we have had those who have come to this planet wanting to help us to expand, helping to for us to know who we are. They may have come from other galaxies, other universes, or they may have come from other dimensions. But that even those who pertain to say we want what's best for you felt that that would be a bad thing because they would lose control over us. And I think we've been through these battles before on this earth, many thousands of years and many probably thousands of years ago, where new ideas were brought in, new messiahs came, new messengers reached this earth, and yet they were treated with disrespect, with distrust, and the majority of the population was taught to fear them, that they're only going to create mischief, they're only going to do something wrong, you must make sure they never come. And they were so-called banished from our consciousness, or as I say, demonized in the way of saying, this is, if you think that way, then you're a bad person. So you must think our way. And together, collectively, we must banish anything that might be what we call a ghost or a spirit or a fairy. Are you following with me? Because I'm seeing that happening now. I'm seeing a collective belief system being told, anything external to us or anything that we do not want you to know is wrong. And therefore, we are protecting you. We are taking care of you. We are protecting you from this virus. And you must follow us. Otherwise, there's something wrong with you. So back in the old times in Ireland, Scotland, Isle of Man, on Halloween, on Samhain, then what would happen is that you would dress up, or certain people would dress up as ghosts, as monsters, etc., which we see today on Halloween. And they would do this in order to either pretend that they are already one of the bad guys and therefore they wouldn't be taken into the underworld, or to scare away the bad guys. So there's a bit of both there. And if I did this for you, if I cleared all the bad guys away from you, all the monsters, all the ghosts that were coming up from the other world, then you offered a treat to me, which may be a cake, a cookie, a biscuit, whatever. And that was where the treating came in. So as the children especially move around on Halloween, and whether they're going to be allowed to do that this year or not, they're given treats because their clothes, their dressing up clothes, their costumes are helping all of us not be as scared anymore, or helping to scare away anything that might come up from the underworld that may scare us. All right? That's where the treating came in. At the same time, it was believed that because, again, these monsters, these ghosts, these creatures were coming up from underneath, that if we dress like them, then they wouldn't notice us, and we would look like them. We wouldn't therefore be taken into the underworld and never come back to the upper world. And that's why people dress up. And of course, that doesn't quite work if you're, I don't know, dressing up as a film star or something else. It was supposed to be that you look like these beings that you believe lived in the underworld. Now, that's only if you believe that that which lives in the underworld or the other world is dangerous. And of course, that's been perpetrated by religion and others who have said, well, of course, anything that doesn't look like us must be bad, or anything that is ugly can't be good. So we've got images, for instance, of the hag or the witch looking ugly, therefore she must be bad. If we want to talk about discrimination, there's been an awful lot of discriminations gone on for a long, long time. And that concept of that which is different from us being dangerous has been around for thousands and thousands of years. And at the same time, if it isn't something, as we may say, coming up from the other world or the underworld, then we're going to see this in the future as we start to see maybe more ETs or other craft coming into our environment where we are now being told, well, of course, anything that came from another planet, another galaxy, another universe has to want to do us harm. Of course it has, which is ridiculous. There's no reason why that should be the case. But that's going to be the narrative as we move forward. Watch out for that which is different from us. And there's going to be a perpetration of stories, of even human or military unidentified flying objects. And I know they've got a different name now, but different types of aerial objects that we're seeing going through the sky, that some of these are being created by our own military to kind of say, look, it's happening. And then to turn the narrative towards, and they can't be up to any good. So I hope I'm helping you understand that such a narrative of something that we don't understand being bad for us has been around for thousands of years. And if we really look back at the fact that the light disappears into the earth and then the light reappears and we give birth to a new light or a new sun or a new energy, this is normal. This is good. We all know as that light disappears, so-called, from the earth, that the seeds drop to the earth and the compost develops from the leaves that fall to the earth. And we get a new composting of a new seed that has a new growth, a new type of growth. And as I spoke about last time, much of this is within a woman's cycle, that every month she goes through a cycle of bleeding, releasing, connecting again to the earth, connecting to her rootedness, and then giving birth to something new each month. We birth something new each month as women. Doesn't mean men don't do the same, but that's the potential of each woman, because we are like Mother Earth. We have this potential of transformation and creation. And I want to say is that anything that says that the sun disappearing into the earth, that winter is bad, really has not understood the importance of our creative cycle. So we shouldn't be mourning the fact that the sun is moving into the earth. We should be celebrating it. But even during those times of the Celtic times, we would have to sacrifice something so that the devil would not take us into that underworld. A lot of this is mythology that doesn't serve us now. So what I wanted to show was that there is a trick and a treat going on at this moment. And I've spoken about the virus before, but if I may say that everything that's going on at this moment has two sides to it. The sun going into the earth is actually very positive. There being a very thin veil, if no veil at this time, is very positive. Samhain is a wonderful time for getting in touch with your ancestral wisdom. So it is a time where ancestors can reach us. It doesn't have to be scary. It can be a time where we bring healing to our ancestors. We release them from old stories and we release them into going to the light. I loved some years back, we were in Bolivia on that 1st and 2nd of November. And the Bolivians have an idea that when someone dies, you obviously you bury them, but after 7 days, you actually take those things that they will need in the underworld and you burn them so that they can have them in the next life. In other words, if the person is, is a wood maker, works with wood, on that seventh day, you burn his saw and other things so that he can use those in the next life. And then they say that every year, on these dates, on the 1st and 2nd of November, you then make the food so that this person feels that they're still connected to the family, but you make their favorite food. So you say, welcome, welcome, nice to have you here. But after 3 years, you burn everything that belonged to that person to set them free. I just love that idea, because there's so many people that grieve on and on and on, and 3 years really is the time of grieving. So the concept of helping someone pass over, and that at certain times of the year, maybe their own birthdays or anniversaries, they will come back towards us, but it's not from fear. And our job is to say, thank you for coming. How can I release you? How can I help you move into the light? And so these special times where the veil is very thin is for us to help those who have passed over to move on. And at this time, there are many who have passed over, maybe from without understanding or recognizing. So this is a great time on Halloween to us to send those beings to the light. Many people are confused that they died from COVID. And then at the same time, to allow ourselves to recognize that they're coming to us to bring us wisdom, to open our eyes. So maybe your dreams around this time will be very vivid. That's the gift of what's going on. But with COVID, there's another message. It's a much bigger message that you've heard me speak about. A virus is a messenger. It's a piece of RNA or DNA. We have billions of viruses living inside us. And as I've mentioned, within our DNA, we have what we call junk DNA, and 50% of that is made up of old viral messages. You could just say old messages. And what I see this virus doing is waking up the part of us that has been dormant, the DNA that has been dormant for too long. Okay? So the downside, you might say, well, yes, but lots of people are getting sick and dying. Absolutely. I'm not denying any of that. But if you can take one step back and say, what has woken in me during this time? Where's the veil fooled away from my eyes? Where am I in the last now 8 months more aware of who I am? What has changed in my life? What's woken up? Yes. And then look around the planet. You may say, oh, the lockdowns, the shutdowns, etc. A lot has not woken up. But people are waking up. People are asking questions. People are more aware of, what do I need? What matters to me? And as a doctor, I have to say, I laugh when people say, well, science, follow the science or follow the data. We know what to do. I think if any of you are doctors or healthcare workers and you're listening, I don't think we do know what to do. I have spent at least the last 30 years trying to understand why people get sick. And you might say, well, of course we know why people get sick. No, we don't. We really don't. I'm sorry to disappoint you. We don't know why people get sick. And that's why I practice holistic medicine. I look at the mind, body, spirit, because until I started looking at the mind and then I started looking at the spirit, I realized that you cannot just say we understand everybody's heart attack. You don't. We know a piece of it, but we don't know the whole. There's so much we don't know. And because drugs, tablets can suppress a symptom, that doesn't mean we've cured that symptom. That doesn't mean we have any knowledge of why that person got sick in the first place. Taking away a symptom is not the same as actually curing that person. And I want to just tell you that's the disappointing part, or in some ways, I don't want to disappoint you. I want to be honest with you. We don't know. We don't know about this virus. We don't know why it's causing symptoms that it's causing, why it's not acting like a common cold or an ordinary coronavirus. We don't know. Now, we could say, well, maybe it's been manipulated by someone. Absolutely true, part of the trick. But the fact of the matter is, what we're watching is, again, whatever's happened to this virus or wherever it's come from, it's causing symptoms that are deadly. It is causing effects that we don't understand why that's causing. And I think any doctor who says we absolutely know what's going on, I'm sorry, but you're lying. And that's why we're almost chasing our tails. I don't think we have a treatment. We never have had. We know how to treat symptoms, but it's not the same as treating the disease. You might think, well, that's a bit strange, but that's how we work as doctors. We see a symptom, we try something, and we're seeing that certain, let's say, inhaled steroids might work, or steroids might work, or other things may work. But there's been no one concerted effort. And I think that's sad, that there has been so much talk about what happens to people, but not about what we're actually doing. We know that vitamin A, B, C, E, excuse me, D are really valuable, not E. But we also know that zinc's important. And this should be out there for everybody to know. So just from that practical point of view, and this may or may not surprise you, but I wanted to bring this idea forward. First of all, we have not isolated this virus. And what does that mean? That we think this virus is made up of maybe what we call bases, which is just two protein elements coming together. I'll try and make it simple. And we think that a virus is probably about 30,000 of these. Well, we've only isolated about 37 of them. 37, not 30,000. And so when we're looking at it in a lab, we're saying, oh, look, there's that 37. Therefore, this person must have this disease. I don't think that's a good enough match. I don't think those statistics are good enough. And so what's happening is that someone is seen to be, have be a case, and you've probably heard me speak about this before, but just because the PCR test notices that you have certain factors, it doesn't mean A, that you have the virus that has the whole virus, and B, it doesn't mean that those particular factors have come from this particular virus. So the test we're doing where someone says, oh, this is a case, it's not a case. It's the test result is positive to these particular bases. But that is not accurate enough to say that we know that this person has corona as a symptomatic person, someone with symptoms. And in, are they still infected or infectious to other people? So the test is not specific enough to say, is this person infectious to others? It does not say, is this person still infected themselves? Because you can express this particular bases, these little pieces, for months afterwards. So every time we're saying, well, there's more cases, we're actually not clear what that's saying. Now, at this present time, we're seeing more hospitalizations and we're seeing more deaths. I'm very sad to see all of that. But we're also seeing almost no flu infections. So what's going on there? Is this that these people are also picking up, or, you know, you're not getting flu because you've got corona? We don't know. Because what we're really not able to say is what's definitive here. And this virus, if we know anything, the Icelandic health service has been watching this, what we call a genome, these different bases that are appearing. They say this is mutating ever so fast, just as we see the flu virus also mutates. So the creation of a vaccine is going to be very difficult because, first of all, you haven't necessarily fully isolated the virus. And secondly, it's already mutating. So what are we patterning it against? And that's part of the trick that we are being shown. And so when I see in the news that someone is talking about basing the fact of, wow, this virus produces antibodies, or the person produces antibodies against the virus, but the antibodies disappear, and now we're going to base all our worries on the fact that the antibodies disappear, I can't believe that these are medical people saying this, because antibodies exist within the bloodstream. Yes, they appear as part of the immune system's response to the virus, but they're not the whole. The main part of the immune system against the virus is in the cell, cellular immunity. And that level of cellular immunity, different types of T cells, T killer cells, etc., That's what we need to be measuring, not antibodies. So basing a vaccine or basing the health of the of a community on the amount of antibodies is, I'm sorry, a waste of time. We need to be looking at the cell immunity, the T cells, what's going on, the T killer cells. Does this person have the ability to kill whatever this virus is or whatever, you know, it's almost like kill whatever this invading agent is. And what we know is that what helps that immunity is taking zinc, is taking D3, is taking other things to improve your intercellular immunity. Now, to take that one more step, we also know that 50% of people already have cellular immunity against a variety of coronaviruses, including the common cold. In other words, you may have had the common cold, which is a type of this grouping of coronaviruses, and you now have you have a certain amount of cellular immunity to this COVID-19. And the figures are as high as 50%. And what's being seen is that the people who get no symptoms or get very few symptoms already have an immunity. And that is what we call a herd immunity. We basically started to build our own immunity. And then when enough of us do this, then we have a community immunity. And that community immunity is not just based on having had the flu or et cetera. It's also based on the health of the community. When we look at something like measles, and you go back to the 1960s, there were very few cases of measles before we actually developed the vaccine. This was partially because so many people had had it. There was a natural immunity. This is what herd immunity is. And therefore, it wasn't being passed on. But at the same time, living conditions had improved. We saw the same with TB. We see the same with other illnesses. When we improve the overall health, the overall immunity of someone, they actually don't tend to get so many infections. That's what we should be looking at. And when we're doing that, we're looking not now just at whether I take vitamins or whether or not I eat a healthy diet, all of which is important, but whether I get fresh air, whether I exercise, whether I laugh, whether I dance, whether I have sex, whether I enjoy life. All of these things are a healthy way of having a healthy immunity. And the same as that, as you've heard me speak about, is that a healthy immunity comes from not feeling helpless, not feeling out of control, not feeling lonely, not feeling fearful. And guess what? We've made all of that happen by telling people that you watch out, once again. Something's coming out of the unknown. Something's coming and it's going to attack you and you've got to hide. Ridiculous. And not just ridiculous, unethical. Because what we're seeing, and the CDC have said this, 70-odd% of people who became infected with COVID were wearing masks. 70% of people in New York who became infected with COVID actually were in lockdown. Do I have any answers for that? No. But I feel that we need to be really being good detectives here, not just say, watch out, watch out, watch out. Because the hidden agenda behind that is to weaken our immune system, weaken our sense of community, weaken our sense of who we are as human beings. And that's not okay. So please, I'm not saying don't isolate. I'm not saying don't wear masks. But recognizing that the evidence is appearing that there's something more happening here. And it isn't probably whether I've washed my hands, even though I'm going to say wash your hands. I'm saying is I've studied enough holistic medicine to know that the way the mind works is more important than how the body works. Or the effect of the mind on the body is more important than just what's happening about my hand washing or my wearing a mask. And we are creating a mindset that says, watch out, watch out. The ghosts and ghouls are coming up from the underworld. You better protect yourself. And what that's doing, I hope you're following me here, is saying anything you don't understand, we'll protect you from, but actually what we're going to do is make you more fearful. And I'm saying is, please, maybe the stories have been created to disempower us and empower others who say, we'll take care of you. Don't worry, we have the right medicines for you. Don't worry, we're creating the vaccine for you, whatever. I don't want to give power to someone about taking care of my body. Yes, if I get sick, I want the expertise of those who can work with me, as I've had when I've got sick. But you can't actually control my life. You can't control whether I get sick or not. That's not in your power. And frankly, I have had so many wonderful experiences of working with spirit, working with the interdimensional worlds, working with fairies, going into the inner world. I'm saying to all of us, maybe that's the veil, that's the trick that's being played on us. Maybe everything that you thought you knew isn't true. Maybe those who live within the other world, the Tuatha Dé Danann, are actually there to try and help us. Maybe those who are coming from other planets are trying to help us. Maybe we are part of them. Maybe it's not about us being small and insignificant. Maybe it's because I am from another planet. I am from the other world. And I've forgotten who I am. It's time to wake up and not be tricked into believing of our insignificance. It's time to wake up and say, I treat myself as a wise and beautiful being. I will no longer isolate myself from the part of me that I'm scared of. So maybe when you're dressing up for Halloween, you dress up in the clothes that make you go, there I am. That's me. I'll treat myself. So finally, I want us to understand the power of the mind, the power of the placebo effect. I was always fascinated, as I have always been, in not the fact that 9 out of 10 people will get sick, but I want to know the one person who didn't. In the 999 getting sick, I want to meet the one who didn't. What's different about that one person? And it was because they had a different belief system. They didn't fall into the trap. They somehow had an innocence about them. They hadn't fallen into the trap that everybody talks about. And I think I have that in me, that curious child. When people tell me that's a bad person, that's a good person, I will say, I want to speak from my experience, not from what you're telling me. Let me meet that person. Let me give you my experience. And I'm asking each of us to step beyond what everybody's telling us. Step beyond that which keeps you safe because you're now part of a collective. The collective is dissolving. This trickery is dissolving. The tricks that have been played on us. Wake up, wake up. It's not about other people. It's about us not tricking ourselves anymore. And so I'm going to leave you with the joy of hopefully having a wonderful time and celebrating this closeness that we have with spirit around the time of, whether you call it All Saints or Souls Days, Samhain, around Halloween, that this is a time where we want to throw back those veils and experience ourselves and all those who guide us, help us, to the fullest of our intention and release our hold on those who no longer can serve us. Until next time, many blessings.
Thanks for listening to the HeartSpeak podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all HeartSpeak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. HeartSpeak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.